Epistle to the Romans, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 5. About a year ago, we were driving down the road, about this time of year, and the heater vent in my car quit working. And so I went to the Oracle of All Knowledge, the internet, to find out what I should do about it. And it said, this is the part you need to buy. And I bought the part, and I put it in. And I took the old part, and I thought, you know, I'm not going to be able to use this anymore. I'll take it apart and see what's in it. I want to see how it works. I want to see what makes it do what it does and see if I can figure out how it was broken. And so I opened it up and looked at it, and I could kind of tell how it worked. And then the bad news was the new part didn't fix the problem. So I put the thing back together all nice and neat and put it back in there and took the new part and sent it back, got my money back. And but who needs a heater in Arizona? Amen? You know, it gets a little chilly in the wintertime, just wear a coat or something. And so, but I like to see how things work. I like to see how things work. God didn't have to, but he teaches us how salvation works. Now, look at chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 12 through 21, and not enough time to look at everything here. But in chapter 5, verses 12 through 21, there is a contrast. And that contrast is between how you got lost and how you got saved. Now, if you look at it, and I'll just read it to you without showing you the verses right away, but this comes from Unger's Bible Handbook, and I thought it was very well done. He talks about condemnation. In chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, By one man, sin entered into the world. We know who that is. That was Adam. By one man. And that's really the kind of the title of the message tonight. What can one man do? One man brought sin upon all of us. Well, don't get too proud there, because you and I are sinners by birth and by choice. So we're guilty as well. But one man brought sin upon the entire world. And when you see suffering, and when you see, and I hate to see innocent animals or people, children suffer, but it happens. I hate to see people die, untimely deaths especially. But folks, death is caused by sin. If there was no sin, there would be no death. But because of one man, he says in verse 12, the world, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So the source of that condemnation is Adam. The extent, he's already mentioned, all have sinned and all will die. So we know that it includes everyone. The cause of that condemnation was Adam's disobedience. He sinned, and we sin. The nature of that condemnation is that God will judge sin. And folks, judgment is deserved. If you go to court and the judge says guilty, he's got some latitude there as to what he can do, but he's obligated to give you a judgment of some sort. That's his responsibility. And there actually was a case in South Texas about, I want to say 20 years ago, where they found a man guilty of murder. And there were some unusual circumstances, and the judge had the right to declare the sentence, and he declared the sentence of one day in jail. And people were outraged, and rightly so. How can you do that? You're a judge. And when someone's guilty of a sin, they should pay the price for that. And by the way, you and I are guilty of, you say, well, I didn't do too much. Let me tell you what you did. Your sin sent Christ to the cross. Because of our sin, because of my sin, Christ died on the cross. How much is that? What does that deserve? God's innocent Son, the only begotten Son of God, the innocent Lamb of God, died for my sin. I deserved that punishment and much more. So sin is what brought the judgment. The measure, it was everybody. The condemnation abounded. He talks about that. He says, and from Moses, he goes on, and it's in verse 14. I won't read it for right now. And then the result of the condemnation is sin and death, and not just physical death, but eternal death. Death and hell are cast into a lake of fire, the Bible says. If you don't believe that, take it up with God. He's the one that said it. And that is eternal. The Bible says, the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. That's the nature of the condemnation. But look at the good side of this coin, the nature of the justification. Let's go back again and look at verse 15. He says, not as the offense, so also is the free gift. He says, for if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So just as one man brought sin into the world, one man died to pay for the sins of the world. What we could never do to pay for that sin, I cannot pay for your sin. I can only suffer punishment for my sin, but Jesus Christ paid for all the sins of the world. One man got us out of this situation. By one man, many can be justified, and that is by faith, and he mentions that very clearly. And he says and I'll read it all in just a minute, but, and then he goes on and he says it's a free gift. In verse 17, he says the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. And folks, salvation is not something you earn. It's something God gives you. Christmas is coming. We all enjoy giving gifts. We would be offended if someone said, let me pay you for that. I'm going to give you a gift, someone says. And you say, well, let me pay you for that. We may want to do something to show our appreciation, but a gift is meant to be free. Yesterday, Al Price preached in chapel. And if you don't know Al Price's story, the short, quick version is that 2 years ago, Thanksgiving, a drunk driver crossed the median, hit his car head-on, killed his wife, killed his service animal, and terribly damaged his body. And Al Price has had a hard life already. He suffered with PTSD. He's had a service animal for a long time. So he came in yesterday, and he preached chapel. His wife is with the Lord, and I know that's sad to him, but it's good to know she's with the Lord, and we'll all be there one day. And don't grieve for the folks that are in eternity with Jesus. We're the ones that are left back here waiting to go that way. But he had his service animal, his new animal. What was his name?
Parker.
Parker, yeah. Good-looking dog. Beautiful dog. Clean Irish setter, looked like. Big dog. And that dog, he was on the ball. That dog's trained so that if Al Price's heart rate begins to rise, if he gets nervous or whatever, that dog instantly gets next to him and the dog will comfort him. The dog will get in his face if he needs to. He might even lick his face a little bit to try to calm Al down. That's what the service animal does. And so he showed us how the dog would behave, and he put the dog over here and told the dog to stay, and he came back over here and then he asked the dog to come, and the dog would come, the dog would go down, the dog did two or three other things, and we enjoyed seeing that. But Al Price is a man that he has been through terrible things. And you know what he said? He said, God, let me go through all that, and I have joy. Wow. That's hard to comprehend. And you think about what he's talking about here, is that God has given us grace. It's good to know you're saved. Good to know your wife is with the Lord. Good to know you're going to be there too someday. And all of this is a gift. It's something that God gives us. We don't deserve it. The condemnation abounded, but the Bible says the justification abounds much more. And the result of the condemnation was sin and death, but the result of the justification is righteousness and eternal life. So let's just real quick, we've got about 10 minutes at the most, look at a couple of these things in a little more detail and see what one man can do. I'll just read it as you stay seated, and let me read you beginning in verse 12, a few verses here. He says, wherefore, now by the way, that word means, wherefore means that something is going to be done, or in particular, the idea is that this is why it is done. In other words, he mentioned the atonement in verse 11. And so now he's talking about how that came to pass. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You ever use that verse when you're witnessing? Amen. Until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there is no law. Don't let that big word worry you. The word imputed, we talked about before, it just means it doesn't count until there's a law. If you're driving down the road and you're going too fast and there's no speed limit sign, technically, you're not breaking the speed limit. What is it, Montana that doesn't have a speed limit or something like that? And I can't remember, but you can drive. You still have to drive a safe speed, they call it. I don't know how they can say 100 miles an hour safe. But anyway, once the Bible or once the law says you can only go 15 miles an hour, don't go 20. Now you got a law, and it's on the books. And if you break it, you're guilty. So the law is counted against you because it causes sin to be counted against you. Verse 14, nevertheless, That's a nice word. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. They didn't do what Adam did, but they did sin. And he's a figure of him that was to come. Adam's a figure of Christ, and we talked about that a little bit. Now, verse 15, not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness since verse 13. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of this passage, but as you read down through verse 21, you're going to see two or three words jump out at you a whole lot. And one of the words is that word grace. Just like one man caused the fall, one man, and only one, is the source of grace that you and I have. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's prophesied about in Psalm 2. And the Bible says that God says to him, ask of me and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. That's us. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price for the sins of the world. And when he died on that cross, the Bible says the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sins. The Bible says he is the propitiation. He satisfies the wrath of God. The Bible says he is how we can have redemption, which is the payment for our sins, atonement, being reconciled to God. Reconciliation is another good word for that. The more I read Romans, the more I see, if you just had to come with a real simple theme for Romans, it's the sufficiency, the all-sufficiency of Christ. Don't we feel insufficient? I feel so insufficient. I was talking to this lady in Maryland yesterday. Her name's Teresa. She has been very close friends with the Kavanaugh family for decades. And she was telling me about Mrs. Kavanaugh, who had the stroke, and what she's enduring. And they had to give her a tracheotomy and put a breathing tube in her. And she has to be fed through the feeding tubes. And she said she can communicate by blinking her eyes, so she's aware of what's going on, but she can't talk. And I can't do a thing for her. We talk about this fellow across the street named John. I don't think he's saved. I have no reason to believe he is. And there he is, right across the street from an independent Baptist church. I would like to think that God would let us have enough power to reach folks like that. Amen? I don't have the power. Mrs. Spencer with cancer, I don't have the power to heal her. I can comfort her and encourage her, but I can't do very much for her medically, not much at all. Folks, we need God's power, and God has power, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the source of all of that. He's the one. The word grace, just every time you see it, get excited. That is God showing you the favor you didn't deserve. Why on earth? David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him in the Psalms? Why on earth would God love us? I don't understand, but he does. Why would God send his son, his innocent son, to die for us? I don't understand, but he did. Why would God show us his grace when we are who we are and what we are, when because of us his son had to die on the cross? I don't know, but he does. And grace, by one man, that grace came. And he uses that word over and over, that word grace. Jesus, just like sin entered by Adam, righteousness comes by Christ. And you and I didn't have to do anything to earn it. We simply had to believe. Aren't you glad you believe? Don't understand. And it's a conscious decision to accept Christ. It's not something that's just thrust upon you. In verse 18, he talks about justification and righteousness, two really big words that are easy to understand. Righteousness means to be sin-free. Justification means to be declared not guilty. And so he says in verse 18, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, that's Jesus Christ, the free gift, that's salvation, came upon all men unto justification of life. God says, you are not guilty. Well, wait a minute, Pastor, I've sinned. He cannot see that sin because it's covered in the blood of Christ. Now, here's what's going to happen, and I'm going to run out of time before I get completely finished here, but we'll stop at 8 o'clock. In the next chapter, he's going to start out talking about how we could misunderstand grace. And we'll save that for next week, but I'll just give you a heads up. There are some people that think, well, since Christ died for my sins, I can do what I want. But that's how good grace is. Christ pays for all of our sins. God looks at you and I, and he sees the righteousness of Christ if we are saved. That's exciting. That's good news. Because my sin should have sent me to hell. My sin should block out the blessings and the grace of God. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is willing to love me in spite of the fact that I was a wicked, rotten sinner that had to have his son die and pay for my sins. Grace is what that's all about. And justification is when God says, you're not guilty anymore. He says in verse 19, as by one man, there you see that phrase over and over, one man, as by one man, by man's disobedience, that's Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, I need to understand something. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but not all will be saved. And the Bible, I can't show you all the verses, but the Bible makes it very clear. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And sadly, we know people that aren't saved. I went to breakfast with Mr. Deal yesterday morning, and we got to the restaurant at about 10 o'clock, and I walk in the door, and the power all went out. Oh, I felt kind of guilty. What did I do? And so I sat down at the table, and Mr. Deal was a little bit later than I was, and so he came in. There was no power, and the owner of the restaurant came out and said he just called the power company. There won't be any power until 2 o'clock. Well, by then, he and I, Mr. Deal and I, both had coffee, and we were sitting there talking anyway. So we just sat there, and we're drinking our coffee, and the power came back on. And we had a good breakfast, and we were talking about the people we knew in our life. And he was telling me of how he knew some really wicked people, and those kind of stories that you're really kind of scared to hear. I'm talking about people that are murderers and that kind of thing. I was telling him about a friend I knew in college that would steal cars and take them to Mexico and sell them. And that's not the kind of friend you ought to have, by the way. But I was backslidden at the time, and he's really more of an acquaintance anyway. But at any rate, God's grace is sufficient to save really wicked people. But you say to yourself, well, I wasn't that bad. Yeah, we were bad enough to send Christ to the cross. It's not just that God's grace is sufficient to save really wicked people. It's sufficient to save us. And praise God, we know it is. He says it very plainly here. All right, I got to wrap it up. Let's just look at the outline real quick. One man can cause many to fall, verses 12 through 14. One man can cause many to receive the gift of eternal life. And one man can give people eternal life. Look at two verses. I got 3 minutes and I'm done. Verse 20. He says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, praise God, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's not simple, but it's there. God tells us this is how you got lost and this is how you got saved. Now, you and I, when we stop and we think about whatever we've done today or this year or in our life, undoubtedly we'll see sins. The Bible says if you don't love God with all your heart, that's sin. We'll see things that where we're insufficient, where we're weak, where we failed. And we can judge ourselves very quickly and see we don't deserve this. But folks, Jesus didn't deserve the cross. And yet he went to that cross for us. And I like that phrase at the end there. He talks about eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You and I are going to get to follow some people that have stepped into eternity this year. People like Evangelist Joe Mark and Pastor Thomas Corkish, and I can't name all the folks that have stepped into eternity this year, but some have, some that are about to. We just heard of some tonight. Hopefully those are saved folks in some cases. I hope they are saved. But one of these days, we're all going to be in eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ because of His righteousness. One man, not my righteousness, not your righteousness, not a corporate effort to save us. One man did it all. Here we are at Christmas time, and we're thinking about the birth of Christ. And I think of that verse, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then Paul said, of whom I am chief. If Paul's a chief sinner, so are we, amen? One man, what can he do? One man caused many to fall. One man causes many to receive a free gift. One man is going to give you and I eternal life. And when we have a clear head and the right kind of vision in eternity, where the blindness of this world and of this flesh and of this life is taken away, you're going to get to look at the Lord Jesus Christ the way you should see Him now and realize He deserves everything. He deserves everything I have. He deserves everything I can do. He deserves every moment of my life because He is everything. He's my salvation. He and He alone is the reason that I can receive the grace of God. The reason you can. Have you received that grace?
Amen?
Amen? Yes. Don't take that for granted. The Lord Jesus Christ paid a high price for us because of His love for us. And we'll keep going with this and you'll see something. He's willing to work in your heart and make you more of what you ought to be until one day when we step into eternity, we will be sin-free. There will be no sinless perfection in this life, but there will be in eternity. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.